tonight. I'm not going to be reading from that tonight. So check that list and to see who these people actually are. So what I did was I asked everybody reading tonight to pretend that they were trying to give an out-of-towner directions, walking directions, driving directions in Pittsburgh, which is a difficult thing to do because we're usually giving directions things that aren't fucking there anymore. Make a left at Babyland. What the fuck is Babyland? It's fucking Babyland, for Christ's sake. Just make a left there. So I asked them to give these directions to their poems. Describe it to an out-of-towner. How would you get to your poems? Try to use like three landmarks in town when you do it. So here's what they came up with. That's what I'm going to be reading from tonight. You can check that list to find out their publication credits and all that, but I don't care about that shit. Okay, so our first reader tonight, Jason Baldinger, my partner in the Bridge series. This is what he has to say. And I can't do it in a Baldinger voice, which if you've never heard him read, you will find out momentarily. He's lived on the radio for many years. He was born for the radio. Born with a microphone in front of his head. It's going to get rumbly pretty soon. So, Jason Baldinger, he says, cross the 40th Street Bridge. Extra points if you can conjure the Yule Bridge and head up the hill to St. Nicholas for an eyeful of Vanka murals. Cross back over and take Butler to Penn and park under the railroad trestle to watch a sunset from either the trestle or the barge pilings. Then come back up Penn, making sure to stop at Graziano's for a sixer before parking at the gatehouse and taking a night walk in the Allegheny Cemetery. Jason Baldinger.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that.
I guess I wrote it, but I appreciate you reading it.
Thanks for clapping, too. I mean, I haven't even read yet. We're going to start with a poem called Winter 1979. Corner of Beethoven and Apollo, hanging drywall in a warehouse. No running water. Piss in a bucket and scan the east side of the city. Shake drywall dust out of your hair. The sun in this city is a strange case of Jekyll and Hyde. When it's gray with the brutal winter light, it could still be hell with the lid off. When it's sunshine, especially in the spring, especially in the fall, I swear it's the goddamn Garden of Eden. Today, as I look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary, it could be both, probably at the same time. Pellegrino used to live down the street late 70s. He's got his stories out. I can't keep any of the dates straight, so let's just say it's winter 79 when he climbed that Douglas fir on the hillside drunk and cut 12 feet off the tree so his wife could have the Christmas she wanted. He tells me about Chessie, a Polish drunk a few hairs over 5 feet who stuttered and played the accordion. He fired howitzers during the Great War, and his brain never recovered. His sister was in an institution, and after his parents died, he couldn't afford to keep her there, so he moved her in with him and lived off her Social Security checks. She died near the end of the month, and he didn't bother to call the cops. He didn't call the coroner. He waited days until her next check came, bought himself a fuck ton of beer, and then drank himself silly, and then he called the coroner, who couldn't tell when she died. Her skin was wax, her ears were black. They just covered her in a sheet and took her away. While Chessie rambled, he swore that he fed her breakfast that morning. Chessie claimed he married a woman named Spanish Ann, who no one ever saw. But when he mentioned her, he'd wheeze in a nasal voice. Blue Spanish eyes, tears falling from your blue Spanish eyes. It was nothing like Humperdinck. The alcohol got the better of Chessie. He lost the house to taxes and loans. No more Iron City Pounders. He died alone in one of those goddamn government rest homes. New short poem, Wilmerding. Sparrow's nests hang on each letter, Valley Auto Parts. It's for you, Don. Oh, you're over here now. I was looking for you over there. This room, it's weird. All right, a remembrance of Andrew Carnegie on the 125th anniversary of the Battle of Homestead. It's also about the 125th anniversary of the shooting of Henry Clay Frick. About 4 days short of it. Sunday drives Hudson Valley south on 9 past Ossining. It's old suburban money now gone. I never pass up a cemetery, especially in Washington Irving land, where the tree spirits are still alive and well, where the iron headless horseman still a sculpture lurks among the graves. I grab a map. Historical burials are a hobby of mine. I notice Samuel Gomper, founder of the American Federation of Labor, is buried there. I also notice Andrew Carnegie, but that fucker died in Scotland, I'm sure. I find Gompers easily enough, and Carnegie is next door, down an idyllic tree-lined path isolated from the peons not as rich as this motherfucker. I'm already gritting my teeth. I wonder what a post-mortem conversation between Gompers and Carnegie would be. The pedestal, the plaque, before the large cross lists of philanthropic endeavors that echo hollow with a man who came from a city of workers that were firmly under that son of a bitch's boot. I notice a small stone covered in coins from aspiring capitalists hoping to get lucky. What was it Steinbeck said about embarrassed millionaires? I make a call to a friend and hope for a suggestion of disobedience or vandalism. But the voicemail is what I find, and I'm spitting fury. I settle. It would be easy to just piss on this grave. I've done it to George Bush's father and Gilded Age financier Mark Hanna. This doesn't seem enough. I stew. I fish a quarter out of my pocket. I can't think of anything to do, so rather than anything else, I flip, I fling. I know that I have no superpowers that can smash or demolish this stone. Instead, I just growl, "Fuck you," from the people of Homestead. This next poem is the Croatian word for cheers. Sevcili. There's still scattered hunky bars lost to time, dispersed on goat paths, dotted across valleys buried in hollers. They are heaven when found. Mirrored walls, fake flowers, no dust, no soot. Everything is so still, nothing has changed since 1974. The owner talks across the bar. The elderly couple's here tonight for the spaghetti special, and one guy asks about meatballs. They won't win any contest, but the food is better than good. I've heard the spiel before. Steve of the Bloomfield Bridge Tavern does it best when he wants to give you a free shot of blackberry brandy. Sheila or Red Bob or Mark called. This is an ice cream topping. We don't sell ice cream anymore, though. Sip it, don't shoot it. Nostrovia, my friend. She says she doesn't drink like her father. Still, there are several shots, and if I'd like, I can pick one. I settle on Slivovitz, plum brandy fire water. She says, "Are you sure?" The couple on the bar ask if I'm sure. And I nod yes, and she pours Sevgili. It punches my tongue. This is not a shooter. My eyes burn back to front, little fires hiding. She says, "How is it?" And I blink, and I sip my beer, and I sip again, take another little nip, and say Slivovitz. This is like ouzo or tequila. It's the drink that crawls under your skin and leads to a place of forgetting. Unsteady towards the door, I'm bluffing. The old man says, "Make sure you drive across the river. Watch out for the current." I say, "I got this. I'm going to drive under the river instead." His return face swims oddly, and I shout, "Zevgili." Don Wentworth just put out this nice little book called Fumble's Revelations, which there's a copy of over there, or several copies of. I'm going to read you two short poems from it. All the poems in here are really short. This is a drug poem. It's called Mescaline. I was looking for the true image of God. All I found, my face, reflected in toilet water as I vomited. Susquehanna River Blues. How many times across the Susquehanna to get nowhere? Three more, I think, if time allows. This is the hymn to Garfield Hill. This is in the Unconditional Surrender book that Low Ghost is putting out here soon, which is a book of love poems. I highly recommend it when it happens. It'll happen. It's happening. Exactly. 6 a.m. There's some pizza in the fridge. Why don't we go grab a slice? My roommate left for work. There's no reason to grab a garment scatter. Besides, it's too hot for clothes anyway. Leaning against the counter, the rise above water tower wears the first seconds of July's sun. Cool air from the fridge, cold pizza on the stove, two arms wrapped around one body, face buried in her hair, and she laughs, chews mouth open, breaks and then passes pieces over her shoulder. Why don't we get back into bed? Shake the birds out of the tree just one more time. Let's let hymns bloom in the sky over Garfield Hill before sweat stings our eyes to sleep. This is the night the Fireflies taught Dave Brubeck how to keep time. In the bar, after a few rounds, she says, "Let's go take a walk in the cemetery." "Better idea," I return. "Let's go back to my place and roll a joint and then go for a walk in the cemetery." And her eyes light and she says, "Perfect." It's already past sunset. The pizza shop next door sells beer. Want to split a quart of beer? How could anyone say no? She has heard tale of foxes, and I have seen foxes. Usually at dusk, on still nights, you may still hear the pups play yips and yelps, mingling with bat sirens, nighthawks, and whitetail snorts. It's a perfect night to sit in the grass. Light rain occasional, and we are laughing too hard, telling too many stories to ever tell if there are foxes. The alcohol and the joint have raised her voice, more manic than its usual steady huskiness. And I want there to be stenographers for these nights. The madness of my friends, all these accidental poets letting their hair down, letting their hearts beat comfortable. We sit with lightning bugs. They rise and glow steady, three-quarter time. You could swear tonight is the same night they taught Dave Brubeck how to keep time. Thank you. Last poem, this was Father's Day. Thanks again to Hemingway's and Chris and everybody else that's involved with this. You know who you are. You're awesome. Highwood Cemetery. Rush from morning sun. It's already too hot. I need shade. Not looking at my feet, I stumble on the grave of my uncle. I hadn't remembered he was buried here. For a second, I'm confused. I look at graves around Cusero, a name lost on the maternal side of my family. I never knew my uncle. He died years before I was born. Kidney failure, barely 21. It's no surprise that no one really spoke of him. Just as now, no one speaks of his other brother gone, or his other brother gone. I only have some vague story, him placing garlic bologna on a dog named Seymour's nose, making it sit still before allowing the dog to flip the treat and reap the reward. Sometimes a day takes you somewhere you didn't expect to go. As such, it being close and Father's Day, I figured I should visit my father, who rests in the cemetery next door, whose grave it takes some time to find. In the years after his death, my mother would come here with her grief, sit on the grass, plant flowers and memories as my brother and I played around the stones, counted them, made up stories while we played Star Wars or G.I. Joe. I've not been to this spot often since, maybe four times in 30 years since my mother remarried. I sit for a while, listen to hawks and jays, the traffic of Marshall Avenue, the blood in my veins, the roots of a tree of history. I came from the rush of this avenue. My sense of time, of place, is acute. The way they bleed through memory becomes tenuous, because time and space do not measure how we think they do. D.A. Levy said, "I have a city to cover with lines." I consider those lines. I trace those lines. Lines of family, lines of history, lines of a city. Thank you so much.